This is Ezra and Elliot.
You're listening to the Family Matters Football Fantasy Podcast.
And now, your Family Matters Fantasy Football Podcast with your league commissioners, David, Jonathan, and Stuart.
Welcome to the show. It's championship week. We've got two of our oldest members in the championship. We're gonna chronicle how we got here. But first, let's introduce our special guest. Oh yeah. Wow thing. What a year.
Yes.
What a year for you, Lewis. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, not to be outdone, and someone who's been here before. That's right. Some would say he reminds us of a young Clint Eastwood.
Well, thank
David you. Senior Cupid. You're known as Senior on this podcast because you named your son after yourself. And so we have to call one of y'all something else.
I figured I could be great someday by keeping my name alive, you know?
There you go.
Well, so that was one of the jokes I cracked in our chat was the only reason I would want Lewis to win is so David isn't on the belt three times, because
Yeah. You'd
be the first one to have your name on there three times. And I want to be the first one to do that. So
of course he doesn't he have those two little hash marks at the end on the belt?
No,
that's just you, Stuart.
That come from behind when everybody's sick and you absolutely catch lightning in a bottle 3 weeks in a row.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Wait, are you
can't
are
you can't
you
take him away? You can't take him away.
Are you referencing that's the right. time that he beat you?
Yeah, he's whooped me so much in the past. Week four last was so sweet. I'm sorry, Stuart.
I was planning on winning that week, but I talked to your wife and she said you cannot beat him, and so I took out a few of my favorite players just to let you win that one.
That's funny. We talked to your wife and she was like, beat him.
She doesn't even know what we're doing. She thinks
in a bottle with some other picks.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well,
game of luck,
gentlemen.
Yeah,
those in the championship, congratulations for making it there. Well done. You have left no doubt in the playoffs that y'all deserve to be here. How are you guys feeling with the last half of the game here? It's pretty tight.
I'd feel better if they'd be playing my guy. I don't know what happened to him unless he's hurt. I haven't heard anything one way or the other.
He's killed me all year, so I'm not. I won't hold my breath that he's done.
Well, yeah. I will chime in here, and like I told Stuart before, I played Stuart in the game. I was up 33 points, and then Henry just ripped one off and scored 17 all in 1 point on one drive. Wow. So you know, anything's possible. So you know, you got to play it to the end, and
that's right.
You know,
right.
A player just as good as him. Can show up, just like Kelsey did that game I beat Jonathan on. I think it was right.
No, that was Stuart.
Stuart. Oh, that was
yeah,
Stuart.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Stuart no more. But I thought I was dead there. I thought I was dead with Jonathan playing him after you know he went through his player blew up. And yesterday I thought I was dead with Chase. You know, scoring.
Oh yeah.
On the TV and he had 40. And then he makes a you know catch on the sideline, and then shows the ball out there, and he ain't even tackled yet, you know.
Yep.
So he had a wonderful game, and he's a great guy.
Yeah, Well, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. I'll tell you what, this year has been, I think if anything, it's shown that it is just really just the luck of the draw. It just really is. No matter who's playing, how good they are. And then out of the blue, you'll have somebody score 60 plus points, not expecting that at all.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't think anybody could say they saw that coming. He's my guy, and I sure as heck didn't know that was coming.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I can see that a little bit.
That was the highest points for a player this whole season, 61 points, coming in the championship game. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it worked out good. It worked out good. But that's why I said, you know, you can't – that. Well, you know, the old cliche is that's why they play the game, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
So, yeah, it has really made, I think, the playoff tonight really something, I think, you know, really special. Because it's coming down to this, you know, coming down to the half. If they don't pay, you know, they put this guy back in, then we got a game, we'll see. But if they don't put him back in, as far as Chubb is concerned, I think it's over. But yeah, we'll see. You know,
yeah,
we'll
the
see.
Browns not have a thing to play for is a problem.
I know.
That's a problem.
Yeah, but let me tell you one thing. I remember a game back when we first started, and Daniel and Jonathan was playing, and the game was almost over with, and Jonathan needed his defensive player to score big points. And I ain't never seen nothing like this in my life. The guy he got gets a fumble or an interception, runs it 99 yards for a touchdown, and he beats Daniel. In the last minute, the last minute of the game was over afterwards or something? Ridiculous.
Oh, that was it.
So, yeah, that's why you play the game. I mean,
that's right.
You know, he's got the capabilities of doing that. He's Chubb is a great player, and you know, maybe if they not got nothing to play for, and you're saving him, or, you know, you don't want a franchise player to get hurt. I mean, who knows? But you know, like I mentioned before, I mean, I think this year the extra week has helped us. I mean, I think I've been in many situations before where we've had good players and they hold them back because they're in a championship game and their record's so good, or they get dinged up and they don't want to play them because they're saving them. So I guess I can say one thing about this year, I think that's eliminated some of that, an extra game.
Yeah.
So far, but it's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I wonder if Daniel remembers that, scenario that you were describing there, Senior.
Yeah. We
I bet
have.
He does. I guarantee I bet he does. We remind him all the time. It was like,
it's all in love. You understand?
Out, yeah. The pick of the stick.
The pick at the stick.
So well, I've got a quick question, Jonathan and David the second, who right now going into there's a half to play.
Mm-hmm.
Senior's up by about 14 points, I think.
Right,
if memory serves me right. Right. So, Jonathan, who would you pick right now to win it?
I would pick Senior, but only because not doubting Chubb. I just think that's a unique circumstance where they may pull Chubb because the game gets out of hand and they've got nothing to play for. But I've been beat by Chubb every time I've played him, so it's hard to pick against him.
Yeah. It's a rivalry game, so I don't think he's going to get pulled. This is they're out of it, right? But they're playing for pride, and I think that means something in a matchup like this. I don't think Pittsburgh is going to run away with it either. I mean, that's probably worth mentioning here. If Baker can play just a little bit better, and they can sustain drives, and Chubb only has four carries. And y'all saw he had, a 32-yard run on one of them?
Yeah.
I wouldn't surprise me if he had another long chunk play. I mean, he can also catch the ball too, which there's a lot of value in that. So it wouldn't – if he can get to 15 carries, I think he could get over 100 yards. The question is he going to get to 15 with them already kind of being down? I don't know. I would probably kind of know, you know, just given what we've seen. But this stuff changes quickly. And that's the exciting part of it.
If it's a 3-score game going into the fourth quarter, I don't think he plays.
Yeah, I guess I don't see it being that.
Yeah.
All good points. Yeah. All good points.
That, that's kind of where I am. I mean, I know it's unique, a unique situation, but someone did that, a poll question. I think I'd rather be.
Oh, I'd rather be Lewis.
Lewis. Yeah. I'd rather be Lewis just because it, when you're up, you're kind of that you're hopeless. You're helpless. You know what I mean? You're just like, you're just rooting.
Was the poll question Lewis or Ryan? And y'all'd rather be Lewis?
What?
That was a shot at Ryan.
Yeah. It will. It
well,
would
I mean,
Austin,
I mean, the whole point of this discussion is that 60-point game.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to know. I want to know if you're keeping Mr. Chase now after 60 points.
Put him on the spot.
Well, that was we were talking about that earlier.
I mean, you've got Allen, Chubb, and Chase. You've got
You've got Hopkins. Choices. You've got a lot of good choices.
Yeah.
Almost as many
I told
as
y'all that guy was going to be dynamic as a rookie. Y'all remember me telling you that, boys?
Yeah, I told you that, and you said, no, he's not going to be that.
Jonathan undersold
him. I watched him
too
throw and catch too many balls the last few years.
Yeah, and do y'all remember when I said Nick Chubb's not going to be good next year and Lewis should let him go?
Yep.
Yep.
That guy.
Okay. You know, hey, I've got a few trivia questions for our championship contenders. If y'all have just a few minutes.
Sure.
Do you have a little cue for us there, Jonathan?
And now it's time for Trivia with Stuart.
Take it away.
All right. This first question is for Lewis. Lewis, if you played senior every week for the last 16 weeks, head to head, do you know what your record against him would be?
Gosh, probably. I have no idea, to be frank with you. I'd say something like maybe 10-5, I'm guessing. I don't know.
Okay. Senior, what do you think? Do you think that you've got a winning record against Lewis, or does he have a winning record against you?
Man, at this point, you know, watching the scores and that, I mean, it's a 50-50 toss-up.
I'd like to answer.
I mean, this is y'all's little.
Since y'all aren't going to answer, I'll answer.
You play with me all the time. You know, would you take this or would you do that? I mean, you know, it's a hypothetical, but, you know, the true answer to that is you know, it's if you look probably at the stats closely, which I haven't, and you break it down a little bit, it's probably close either way. Go one way or the other.
We're just looking for some numbers here, I think.
I know. Jonathan, why don't you
put the old man in the holes? What y'all trying to do?
I'd say they're 8-8. I'd say they're dead even.
8-8. Okay, close. It is 12-4. And
who's
not
favor? Close?
I know. 12-4.
Ooh, I would say senior.
12-4 senior is correct.
Yeah. Yeah,
12-4 senior.
Wait. How y'all come around that? How did you break that down?
If y'all played each other every single week, your score each week versus his score
just
each
straight
week.
Up point. Yeah,
just straight up points.
You're just playing straight up points.
Hey, yep. Yeah. It's worth mentioning that no one fact checked Stuart, because so he could completely be telling us the wrong number. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, but that's still a hypothetical, or you know, a one stat look at something.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, true. Next one.
I mean, you can take Mike, your dad, Mike Searles, and look at his scoring and look at where his record's at. He's had one or two games he's lost close, scored a lot of points, and lost the game just because of matchup.
Yeah,
David's gonna send you a spreadsheet of all this broken down. He's kept track of this all year.
You know what?
So
as long as
senior,
y'all keep up with it, I ain't worried about it.
This is why they're winning. This is why they're in the championship and we're not. Because we care too
y'all
much about things that don't matter.
Well said.
Hey, but we have cool drops, though.
Yeah.
Cool intro music.
You know, I can only speak for myself. But I think Lewis would say the same thing.
Yeah,
you know, we enjoy being with y'all and
yeah,
all these conversations and y'all yapping and stuff. But you know, us old men, we just show up and do the job. You know,
that's right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Speaking right. of doing, it, doing the job,
where are the shovels so we can start digging?
y'all have played each other once this season in week 7. Do you remember who won that matchup?
No.
No idea.
I've slept since then.
Lewis won 156.66 to 130.24.
Ooh.
How many points Chubb had?
I don't know.
You got to dig deeper because that's what's relevant to this game.
That's exactly right.
Come on, if you're going to do your homework.
We need to have you guys on more often.
You got
to
have a response there.
This might be the last time we do trivia with Stuart.
Personalism going on here.
Both of you have 20 teams, 20 guys on your active roster. How many of them were originally drafted and kept by you? So meaning like right now, how many guys on your roster have you had all season long?
Oh man. I'd say 12 maybe for me.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I don't think I've had much turnover other than one trade. So, I'd say it's pretty high. I got the same players.
Lewis has had half of his team. 10 guys that you were originally on your roster are still there. Senior has 6 guys originally on your roster still there.
Are you counting my injured reserve?
No, so that would make it 8, but then that would make your roster 22. But, you know, that's
man,
okay.
I must have been doing something and hustling this year.
Yeah, there was more hustling than you thought, maybe.
Hey, we need to – I don't know if you have this information, Stuart, but you should compare that to the rest of the league because I wonder if they've had less turnover. I think Bryce made a comment about that in the chat.
Yeah, I actually posted that in the chat a while back. I went and looked through each team. I think Lewis is the one who has had the least amount of turnover or change on his team.
Really?
Yeah. Which, you know, says something, I think. You're in the championship. So,
yep.
Okay, so looking at your teams, there are 4 offensive scoring positions in fantasy: quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. One of you has at least one top 10 performing player at each of those 4 offensive positions. So one of the two of you has a top 10 at every one of those positions. And the other one is just missing one position. So looking at quarterback, do y'all both have a top 10 quarterback?
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. I think Allen's number 1.
Yep. Do y'all both have a top 10 running back?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Do y'all both have a top 10 wide receiver?
I don't know what I got on my roster for wide receiver.
I don't think Senior does anymore. He did with Tyreek.
Yeah. He got hurt.
That's right. That's the one that Lewis has that Senior doesn't. Godwin is number 12 who's on your IR. But he was your best wide receiver.
He would have – I mean, he probably would have been top 10 if he didn't get hurt.
Yeah, I would think so.
He got hurt. I'd have said he'd been
That's
in
pretty
the
amazing.
And if he wouldn't have got hurt. But
And then tight end. Do y'all both have a top 10 tight end?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. Goddard is number 7 for Lewis.
Wow.
Really? Senior actually has 2 top 10 tight ends.
Dalton Schultz
too.
Remember the tight ends.
So that might make up for my receiver going down a little bit.
You're really making Stuart jealous because now you're running his double tight lineup that he's always
wanted
to
right.
run,
Remember
and you're
the
in the championship.
Okay, we got 2 more. Two teams in our league. Each own 2 of the top scoring rookies in fantasy this year. One of those teams is in the championship. So which team is it who has two of the top 10 rookies?
Two of the top 10 rookies.
And scored.
All right.
Well, I think you got the rookie as Chase.
That's the only one I know of.
Devontae Smith is the other one. Devontae
right.
Smith for Lewis.
The Eagles.
So Lewis has Chase and Devontae Smith. There's one other team in our league who has two top 10 rookies on their team. They happen to be on the phone with us right now on the call.
Who would that be?
It's someone with the same name.
David?
Who are they, David? Do you know?
Yep.
Javonte?
It's his keepers.
Javonte and?
The Waddle.
That's right. Okay, last
question.
I've
seen him waddle in the game. Yeah. Have y'all seen his waddle?
Yeah. Yeah. Of the two championship teams, the two teams in the championship, one of them has five top 50 defensive scoring players. So five top 50 defensive scoring players this year, and the other team has no top 50 defensive scoring players.
Really?
Yep.
Where did you find that? Where on earth did you dig that up?
Oh, man. I do a lot of research for this trivia.
I have no clue.
Well, save us a bunch of time here. Who is it?
Senior has five players in the top 50 defensive scoring. Devontre Campbell, Denzel Perryman, Fred Warner, Jaron Kearse, and Trevon Diggs.
You should have played the game. Can you just name your defensive players?
No. Lewis at number 56, Jerome Baker is his highest scoring
defensive guy.
Defensive guy. Yep.
Wow.
Mm. Yep.
Wow.
Wow.
So I had some good linebackers. I wish I could play them all at one time.
Gosh, I know. You picked up Devondre Campbell from off the waiver wires because I dropped him, and
he has
gone crazy for you.
I made some good waiver wire picks, you know, on your game because my guys got hurt.
Yes, and they all popped off.
It's that St. Brown. I mean,
Amon-Ra St.
Brown. He's blown
up
2 weeks in a
row.
He's
the best receiver.
Running back. The mistake I probably had was I fell asleep during Christmas and let Lewis pick up that running back for Jacksonville.
Yes.
You fell asleep.
And, of course, I fell asleep on Ronald Jones. I didn't bid enough money. I guess Brown, it don't matter about him anymore. Mike just
Antonio.
Maybe paid too much money for him.
Poor investment.
So, anyway.
Well, that's it. I think – based on the trivia, who I think won the trivia, I'll go with Jonathan.
Thank you. I'm glad I won something.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I appreciate y'all doing all this. I mean,
yeah.
So there goes Senior. Lewis, any parting words?
No, I hate to echo with.
All right.
Do you think they realize they've been cut off still, or are they still talking?
One of them's in here talking to me now. So
who's going to talk longer?
Probably Lewis, because he probably has no idea. But all right, cool.
Hey, when was Lewis last in the championship?
Was it
against me?
Oh, really?
I beat him. I beat him either in 16 or 17.
So is that twice in the past 5 years? For both of them, right?
Yeah, let me see if I can pull that up.
That's pretty good. Twice in the past 5 years. I think it's something to be proud of one way or another. So I know there's some other league members that would have liked to say at least once in the 11 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Jamar Chase's stats as we speak, or as they were speaking. They are unbelievable on the year for a rookie.
Yeah.
I mean, do you remember last year we were talking about Justin Jefferson? And I think we had a debate. I don't know if it was in the offseason podcast or I was like, that's the guy you take regardless of if you get the number one pick or whatever, because he had done 1,400 yards and 7 touchdowns. And that was over, I guess, the same time period here. Jamar Chase, through the same, I guess, amount of games, has more yards, barely, 1,429. But the real difference is the touchdowns. He's got 13 touchdowns. He's almost doubled up Jefferson on that historic rookie season he did. I mean, just unbelievable.
The other thing, I know we'd have to do more digging on, but how many of Jamar Chase's were like 40 or 50 yard touchdowns? They were just, he's scored so many on so many bomb plays. And I remember experiencing that when I played at Lewis twice early in the season. I was like, golly, Chase is a killer. And he's got to be kept, right? Like, he's got to be the guy.
Oh, for sure. He's a keeper. And I think I keep Chubb too and let Allen go personally. But
oh, man.
I mean, you can't, I don't think, go wrong with either, because Allen's a top quarterback himself. What I was going to say is, I remember going back to the draft season. I was off on Chase coming into the year because, I mean, I'll admit this, it sucks to admit now, because I like the talent. And I go back to 2 years ago when they had all the draft experts. In that same draft, you had Justin Jefferson, and you had what's his name from that plays on the Panthers. And they came out. They came out the year before, and they were all saying that Jamar Chase would have gone higher and was better than all of them. And then you see Justin Jefferson go and have the career in the rookie year he had. And so, like, they'd been saying all that, right? But then COVID happened. He didn't play for a year. He had a bad – do y'all remember his preseason? It was bad.
He had so many drops.
All those reasons, I was scared off. And, boy, man, I wish I had him going into the career that he's going to have. And especially with that connection to Burrow. He's 21 years old. He is so young.
There were two narratives. The one was, dude, him and Burrow are going to figure it out. Obviously, that's the one that panned out. The other narrative was what you just said, he was out for a year. And then you had guys like T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd who were ahead of him, theoretically, on the depth chart. You had a bad offensive line, again, theoretically, based off of the previous year. So you're like, man, he may have some like games where he pops off, but it probably won't be consistent. And golly, that's... The other thing is, man, is Joe Burrow not a top five quarterback going into next year? That's the other question. That to me is, I mean, that's kind of why I was excited about, I posted that question right before you did, Stuart, about list your top whatever quarterbacks, and then you listed that really long one. But I really think you could start making the argument that if Joe Burrow, you know, you take out guys like Rodgers and Brady and the guys that are on the end of their career, Burrow's one of those top five guys I think you want to have. He is not afraid to sling it, and he is really good. So,
yeah, I'd love to have Burrow. I'd pay Burrow the max.
It's interesting. I don't know what it is about him. I've just never – I don't know. Maybe it's the way he looks. I don't know. He just doesn't strike me as like a really good quarterback.
Have you watched him play? I know that's weird. Have you heard him talk? Because the other thing, he does have like a calm but confident demeanor where he is in control of everything he's thinking. Like, he's very calculated. He's not like Baker where he's just a cocky like son of a gun that just runs his mouth and then doesn't actually back it up on the field. I feel like he's out there actually performing.
I think it's probably because he kind of looks like the guy from Dawson's Creek. And so I'm like, I can't take him seriously. But seeing Trevor Lawrence in that Subway commercial, like that guy is not going to be in the league very long if he keeps doing commercials like that.
You know, I was thinking with the Joe Burrow comment, I thought he looked like a grown-up version of Macaulay Culkin.
Yes. Yeah, that's
and that's what bothers me.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, so, but hey, he got the sticky bandits in the end, so, or the he wet did. Bandits. Which one were they?
Sticky in the second one.
Yeah.
Wet in the first. both gross.
Both disgusting.
Okay. Wow. So, here we are. We're back on. The game's back on.
Yep.
Championship Monday.
Ryan's really wanting this water bet to go through.
Yeah, I've stopped trying to count water bets the way y'all are going. I didn't even have my phone. And I just scrolled through. And, like, I don't even know. I'm going to have to give that to y'all to do, the way y'all make these water bets.
The Gosh. Problem is, if there's no context and you go back and look at it, you're like, I don't even, how do I know what the, if this was won or lost? Yeah, we might need to start setting some parameters or screenshot things or something, because there's no way to track that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And apparently there's a giant bucket water bet that's happening. Between Ryan and Bryce too, that I got out of.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, what was it again, Stuart? Do you remember?
It was just who wins the matchup, Senior or Lewis, and it's a vessel of your choice to throw water from, but it can only be, you have to be able to pick it up by yourself. So,
gosh, that challenge would favor me. I should make one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan's not really, I'll give Ryan credit for being creative, but he always seems to lose those bets where they're outside the norm. The 9-2 bet where he said he wasn't going to lose the rest of the season. That was easy money.
Easy money. Easy money.
He lost the very next week and traded everybody away.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, we haven't been on in a long time, but.
Yeah, we haven't been on since the playoffs started. So do you want to.
Yeah, how disappointed are you guys?
Do you want to go back to round one?
Probably not as disappointed as I am.
Yeah.
It did provide me a little bit of solace knowing that I would have lost in the second round, but.
Yeah, there wasn't, the only way things drastically change is if Mike did what David said, which was play Senior first round. I believe that would have changed things, but.
Yeah.
Other than that, this is probably always going to end up this way, which is kind of reassuring. It's just like, it's meant to be versus wondering what if.
But, yeah, right.
You know, yeah, you and Mike have to be the most frustrated after having such great seasons.
Yeah, and I think the thing where and we'll have to do another maybe summer podcast to talk about before we have to declare our keepers, because I'd love a little advice. I've got a lot of guys that I am trying to figure out who I should keep for next year. So, like, you know who I really want to keep, but Debo. I don't think I'm going to, is Debo. Yeah. Oh, man, I want to keep him so bad.
Do you love watching him?
Yes.
I love watching him.
And the fact that they have used him so much in
– He plays running back, too.
Running back? I'm like, man, I like him better than Cup, but Cup is definitely more consistent. And – He and Staff, Cup and Stafford together are match made in heaven.
I have a hard time believing that Cup's going to repeat anything close to this year. I feel like he's going to have a big drop off. I could be wrong, but.
He could have a huge drop off and still be number one again.
For sure.
How dominant he's been, though.
For sure. But it's unbelievable how dominant he's been this year.
It kind of reminded me of Rodgers and. Jordy Nelson. I mean, they were just like a perfect match together.
Two white guys.
Two white guys.
Oh. One football.
That's the secret. Mahomes never has a chance. Well.
Yeah.
What else? What other heartbreak did you guys have? David, were you glad to just be out of it in the first round? Because if you and I had not swapped, you would have actually played your dad second round. And
I'm so happy because I would have lost one way or another just at some point. So I'm even glad I continued to lose. I was trying to win. I just literally couldn't with COVID and just injuries and having no dollars to, you know, I made a plea to Lewis. Lewis has so much fab to try and just like buy some fab going into next year. And Lewis is a tough negotiator. I couldn't even come up with a deal with Lewis. Like I was out there trying and I couldn't. And so, I mean, kudos to him for, being tough on that, but goodness.
Listen, I would send him, I don't think you can see this, but it was like 4 or 5 to 1 in text ratio just to try and get him to respond. And then he would just send these short little responses. And he said, dude, leave me alone. I'm still asleep. That was one of his responses. Another one was he finally was okay with the deal and he just said, do it. And then I said, done. And then he said, leave me alone. And I put a heart next to that one. I was like, yeah, this is how I wanted him. It's how I want him to be. It's great.
Gosh.
So I want to talk about two things. One is Lewis. He really, not until the very end, did he even really start making very many transactions. I think he had one, maybe two trades all year. He just was a guy that kept his team and didn't do much with his team. And here he is sitting in the championship with a chance to win. So, A, thoughts on that, right?
I have some thoughts. Yeah, go ahead, David.
No, go ahead. I was going to let him finish. I didn't know you were still going.
No, you go.
No, it's okay. Go.
I was going to say, this is exactly the template that won last year with Jackson.
How so?
Yeah. Very little movement, same roster.
Well, Jackson no didn't.
Do y'all remember Jackson? You remember that? That was last year when he won the championship. And even during the championship game, we were like begging Jackson to speak about everything. Yeah. And it wasn't until Diggs finally won it that you heard from Jackson. And it's like, we should have heard from you sooner. You were in the championship. Lewis has done more in that regard. So, but the point being is and Stuart said it earlier, there's something to be said about drafting a good team and kind of letting it play out. I think in fantasy, it's really easy to overreact. You know, I talked about Ja'Marr Chase. I overreacted to the fact that in preseason, he had a bad game and I dropped him down my board. Had I just kind of held the course knowing and trusting the talent, I might have ended up with him. And, you know, look at where he's at now because of it. 61 points in the championship game.
I'd say that and the basic philosophy of you take the best player in the draft and worry about things shaking out later. For instance, Lewis took Stafford after he already had Allen and he didn't need to, right? So you're kind of thinking like, well, that's dumb. You're never going to play the guy. And I was desperate for a quarterback because I waited and I took Tannehill thinking he would repeat last year and he didn't. So then I had to trade a top running back in Gibson for Stafford, and that stabilized his running back core because then he had Gibson and Chubb. And again, he didn't have to do anything. He just sat there and waited for someone to come to him. And, you know, that's a strategy, right? Like, just take the best players, and then you just got bait hanging out there waiting for someone to come get it. And you're kind of in the power position. So it's almost like the key takeaway for me is, yeah, don't get cute with these guys. Take what you know to be true, take the best players and figure it out later, because it, in the end, you got injuries, you got trade opportunities. You know, you could have a guy that's supposed to be good and then just quits in Calvin Ridley. Like, it just, you just take the best guy and hope for the best. And it seems to have worked out for both Lewis and Senior pretty good.
Yeah. And to David's point, Jackson last year. So you look at the rest of us, especially those who are doing a lot of wheeling and dealing and trading and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, is that the best strategy in fantasy? And I guess you can't really say that because I don't even know who was on my original team, but I don't know that I would have done any better than I did this year. Right. If I would have kept those guys.
I think it's letting stuff come to you. I mean, to Jonathan's point about, you know, holding on to Stafford and letting someone come to him in a time of desperation. I think Jonathan's a really good case study here. You know, we all like to rag on Jonathan. He hasn't done anything in so long. We don't even remember the year 2013 or 14.
Except it was talked about by two old guys, but go on.
Which, by the way, his recollection of what happened is totally accurate, which it's, was, I didn't
like
say.
Paul, it's like Paul Bunyan. It just grows. The story grows every year.
Yeah, you can't get longer than 120-yard touchdown run. I don't know why he didn't say that. Right, Stuart?
That's right.
So, I forgot what I was saying.
No, but you were saying I was a case study. I think it had to do with...
Oh, yeah, you're a case study. I think you, Jonathan, have had players that you just absolutely fall in love with.
Still do.
You know, whether it's Josh Gordon, whether it's Cordarrelle Patterson, way 7 years ahead of the game on that one.
Mike Williams,
always 2 or 3 years before they break out.
Oh, for sure. But you would make some trades, and you were just getting your guy, which I don't fault that at all.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
But you were aggressive in the wrong ways, and I think you've paid the price. And you look at this year, you kind of let it come to you this year. And I would argue this has maybe been your best team since the championship. So
absolutely.
The point of that isn't to say that don't trade. The point of that is to say what the trades and the market come to you, and being able to read that, you know, it's like Survivor. You know, we're big Survivor fans here.
Yes.
It's feeling out, like, you know, the tribal and feeling where people are coming from and knowing the situation so you can take advantage of it. I think there's value in trades, but you got to approach it and understand where everyone's at, right? It's like the trade deadline. People every year complain about what is the real value? What is the market? Right. You know, I hear Bryce right now.
The market's the market.
Right. The market is the market, and how you take advantage of that and read and predict it is what wins championships. And so some years, you know, it makes sense not to do it because the market's not there. Other years, I mean, we've had, all of us have won on this call, right? We've all been really active those years we've won. And so there's no right or wrong recipe. I think it's just kind of feeling it out. And then it's a lot of luck too. You know, people don't get injured. And so
I'd say another way to say that too, that I feel like relates to survivors, you can play too hard. Like, you can overdo it, and just making moves and being active can shoot yourself in the foot. And not only can you make the wrong move, but you can also decrease interest in future trade partners. You can, you know, there's a lot of things. You lose value in certain areas with draft picks. So there is a point to which sitting back is a strategy that is viable.
I would argue, and to kind of further that point, Daniel this year is a case study to this.
We'll see how it works out.
Daniel actually, and he's placing a bet, right? Which I'm all for placing bets and taking a stand. I think you got to do that. Stuart took a stand this year to win it all, right?
Yep.
That's a good stand. That's a stand I would do. I've done in the past, right? Sucks when it doesn't work out. But Daniel, you know, on the flip side of that, he had a really good team. He was a top seed. Had he kind of stayed the course and not gone super aggressive on some of this stuff and just super one side of how you approach and manage a team. I mean, look at, he has no draft picks.
Right.
Got awesome keepers, right?
Right.
And, you know, Henry might be back. And if Henry's awesome for the playoffs, then I think, you know, going into next year, he's going to be really good, you know, sitting good with two keepers. But it's like, if he had just stayed the course, where would he have been this year? Because he could have had a team that could have won it all. So it's just that kind of, that's what makes it fun too, is we've got personalities in this league. You know, like Bryce, I do miss Preston, because we always knew if you had a cowboy, you could go to Preston. You know, like, that was an advantage point that you could, I would draft cowboys just so I knew I could do a trade them later, only because it was fun. But that's what makes it fun, is we all get ways of doing stuff. Joey likes to make terrible trades where he gives McCaffrey for nothing, and then he is, you know, so overvalues every other play. And that's what kind of makes this league fun.
I definitely play differently in this league than I would if I joined a league where I knew nobody. I would play way more conservative.
Right.
There would be way less aggressive decision making, because I don't know the other guys. I know kind of what makes some guys tick in our league, and they know what I like too. So it's a give and take. I do like that. That's what's fun about the year over year aspect of it, for sure.
So, like, Joey,
well, that's what, in my mind, that's what makes this league so much more fun too. Because I'm in another league, and I've been with some of those guys for 6 or 7 years now, but it's just not the same, because that I don't know them as well from a fantasy perspective, at least.
Right. Yeah, no, I think it's fun. Even though I wish I was in the championship, it's fun to see different guys get in and different strategies bear out. And it's not just a one-sided affair where you have to build it one way or you need all the draft picks. Ryan, but you had the advantage on the draft pick side and you didn't do a bad job. You just had unlucky schedule. You had some unlucky breaks here and there. And we kept saying it every week, like, dude, you need to start winning. Otherwise, this is all for naught. And then on the flip side, like, again, the great, great point, David, this could be a case study for Daniel where he said, I don't care about the draft next year. I've got two stud running backs, which we've already seen Henry miss half the season. Kamara's missed parts of season before. So it's not like it's without risk. So it'll be interesting to see if that plays out for him the way he thinks, or if he's going to make another big move early next year. We don't know, but the fun thing is it could all of it could work. It just depends on the breaks you get.
Right. Yeah. It's so difficult because there's only one winner. I mean, there's 12 teams in the league.
One in 12 chance.
It's not going to work out. You know, I made the joke to Jonathan this past week, Stuart, that I'm glad I'm as good as Stuart's team, and I'm glad I'm no worse than Mike Searle's team. And at the end of the day, that's what it is, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, so obviously there's some frustration on my side because I feel like, and obviously I know I'm biased, but I feel like I had by far from top to bottom the best team assembled. I feel like I put together the best team. And it just kind of, and I've known this for all these years, and I've been the recipient of it, winning two championships, both of my championships, I would say, for sure one of them, where I just got on a hot streak and won three games in a row. But that's the thing that is kind of frustrating when you're one of the better teams, is it doesn't really matter how your regular season went, what team you put together. It's up to the last three games of the season.
Yep.
And I know there's no way around that, but it is kind of, I almost wish there was some way to give an advantage, which again, I know that there's not, but you know, it's because we've talked about it before. It's just week 15, 16, and 17 for these NFL players. Like there's nothing different for anyone other than for us.
Right. Our sense of urgency is this is our championship, but they are playing another regular season game. They may even be so far ahead certain years where they can start resting guys in the championship week for even our schedule. So
that's right. Yeah.
Yes. So it is, there is something to, and I this is where your trade deadline is matters. I mean, you can look forward and start looking at that point in the year. You can start saying, okay, here's some trends for matchups. Here's kind of what we know about these teams. But in the end, yeah, I mean, who would have thought Amon-Ra St. Brown would be a top five receiver
right
the last three weeks of the season? And it's, I mean, he destroyed me. He destroyed Lewis. And he was on the waiver wire in the playoffs. So, you know, yeah, it's, it pays
That's
to
crazy.
Stay active. I mean, it pays to keep your fab. That's another thing that, like, a lot of guys waste all their fab before. I'm one of those guys because I like to stay very active early, or I want to make big bids early. And Lewis and Senior had all the power going on the playoffs. They had all the fab. So, I mean, it's just, it's very interesting to see that. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. I don't think I would trade our format for another unless you wanted to discuss buys. I just don't like buys. I just don't.
Yeah.
But, you know.
That's such an advantage at that point. It's like, man.
Well, and it's just also
you just have
like,
to win two
yeah.
games.
Yeah, I know. The argument has always been the 13 weeks of a regular season is such an investment for it to mean nothing, to your point, Stuart. Like I feel bad for someone like you and other teams in the past where it's been so dominant like that, especially like the number two seed in your case, Stuart. The number two seed, it gets nothing essentially. And in fact, the number two seed gets screwed sometimes because of the power the number one seed has. Right. And so,
yes.
You know, it's all relevant too, because you could have, you know, a team that gets in like you did one year as the eight seed who might not be the team you want to play with because of moves they made. You know, Bryce comes to mind when he made the championship. He limped in, but he was the only one making moves at the deadline, right? So
right.
It's hard to say, but I mean, I've always been in favor of, you know, rewarding you know, good. And, you know, what that line is, I think I'm always open to discussing it. I do like what we have. But, you know, I'm not opposed to rewarding people who do a good job throughout the regular season, which we place so much emphasis on. So I think we've tried to offset some of that too through cash payments. We've kind of bumped that up and changing some of this stuff. But, you know, I don't know if we found that sweet spot either is what I'd say as well.
Because, okay, so the challenge becomes, you know, because it's very much, like you said, Stuart, luck of the draw. It's just week 13 to week 4, or excuse me, this year, week 14 to week 15. Let's say you got a bye in week 14. You happen to score really well. And then that doesn't matter, right? That's irrelevant. Let's say you go into week 15 and you have your worst week of the year. It's the same thing, right?
It's the same thing. It's the it same really problem. Doesn't
you just
help.
Kick the, yeah, you just kick the can and you're guaranteeing a top four spot for that seed, whatever you're doing. So maybe that's the counter argument is, well, if you have a top two season, you're guaranteed a top four finish on the season. But I don't know. Yeah. It's tough.
But if you don't win the championship, it's kind of bust for me.
Right.
I'd almost go the other way where you don't have eight teams in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you're not losing. So you don't feel like you're losing to one of these teams that, you know, like imagine if I would have beat Mike Staffel round one. My team sucked all year. Like I shouldn't have deserved.
Oh, trust me. First off, to beat your team. It was very frustrating.
Well, yeah, but that's my point, though, is like how frustrating is that for them? Because it's eight teams versus if it was six, I actually still would have made it, which is a bad analogy here. Get the point.
Yeah.
And so I that's another way you can go with it, too, is all I'm trying to say. I'm not saying we do anything, but
sure.
I'm sure Bryce has something maybe we could listen to and vote no to.
And I'm not really saying that. I mean, I don't think there's anything that you can do, but it does. It is frustrating when you make the moves and try and position yourself, looking at the weeks in the playoffs and trying to get guys that are going to, you know, have good matchups in those weeks for it to all not really matter. But I mean, I think that is just kind of fantasy football. I mean, that's what everyone who's playing fantasy is dealing with, the exact same thing we are.
Yeah. Yeah, you see that all the time. Matthew Berry and all them share that about how you have the best regular season, you lose first round. It's just disheartening. But
I think I feel like COVID has kind of even magnified that.
That's cheapened it, right? Because it's different when your guy just goes out and lays an egg and you're just frustrated at performance. It's another thing when he's not even available and it's not even an injury. It's just this arbitrary rule they threw in haphazardly and then they're changing the rules mid-season too. That's frustrating. I will admit that to me, and I'm glad we quickly changed the IR rule for that, because that's so stupid. It was, but in the playoffs, it's like, I don't care about the IR spot. I want my guy on the field. And that, I think that dramatically impacted. I mean, how many guys did you have, David, on COVID?
I've had 10 to 12 the past 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then you run out of fab and it's like, this is a sidebar conversation, but this is why $0 bids is necessary. Cause that's just an unnecessary penalty and you don't have any advantage except your waiver wire position. So it's not really an advantage to be able to do a $0 bid. If you want to outbid me by a dollar, you can still do it. Right. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. Yeah. COVID has really made it feel like you feel hopeless of like, well, I lost all control of this, even though all year I was the best team. We're at a better team than that other guy.
I didn't really suffer through that very much, but I feel like it was worse this year than last year, just because of we didn't have as many games moving and kind of more up in the air in regards to that, but we did have it, and it just seemed to hit at the worst time. You know, it all started hitting come playoffs.
It was timing of it.
Yeah, last year it was like week two or three that they like, it was like, great, is the NFL season even going to happen? And then this year it was like, what, week 10 or 12, somewhere in there, where it was like, it started to get out of control and into the playoffs type of thing. So, and that's the other thing, towards the end of the season, you really start to see who you need to beat. And so it's not exactly a playoff game, but there were some implications. Then you've already got the crazy stuff with the things that are, you know, only God could control with the Buffalo New England game. It's like, you know, right. You've already got to worry about that. You know, it can be maddening, but also Stuart, you're on the other side of I should have won matchup where I had Stafford and Henderson. And I think only needed like 20 points between the two of them, maybe less.
Yeah.
And they both underperformed and you won. It's just, that stuff sticks with me. I don't know if it sticks with me, but it sticks with me.
No, when I won that, I said that was one of the most satisfying wins that I've ever had. Just because there was no chance that I was going to win. And then to watch those guys not perform well.
That's like both my wins against y'all this year.
Ugh, I don't even want to talk about it. Seriously, I lost more games this year to someone who scored like less than 120 points.
Bad my team was. Y'all lost. Sorry.
I know.
My team was as good as Stewart this year. Let the record show.
Let it be known. I really.
So.
Go on.
I was just gonna say. And David, you might have pulled this up. I don't know. We talked about it on text earlier, but which I'll phrase it this way: which Palomo are you most surprised with this season? Ryan's poor performance or Lewis being in the championship?
Yeah, that's a great question. Our initial power rankings. It's probably pretty easy to guess where we had Ryan.
Yep.
Yeah, he was one.
We all had Ryan number one. So for him not to make the playoffs is a big surprise, right? Do y'all have any idea of where we had Lewis? Cumulatively and then individually, who was the highest and lowest?
I feel like I had him at like 9 or 10. I don't know.
I want to say, and I truly haven't looked at this. I want to say I had him a little bit lower than that. So maybe like, I'll say 7.
So going into week one, Jonathan, you were the lowest on him.
Oh no.
Stuart and I were slightly higher and we had them both the same in our power rankings. We had him 10th, Stuart.
Ooh.
Jonathan, you had him 11th.
Ooh.
So you have a cumulative 11 in Lewis and a cumulative number one in Ryan beginning of the year. Ryan doesn't make the playoffs. Lewis is in the championship. I think I'm probably more surprised by Ryan. I think what Lewis did is harder to do because he went into the championship, which is the top two, right? We just talked about how you have to have luck. You have to have all this. You have to get in the playoffs. So I think that's harder to do than what Ryan did, whereas four teams missed the playoffs, right? So the odds, you know, one third of the league misses it. So I think there's a little bit, I would have put Lewis's odds lower of making the championship than Ryan's odds of missing the playoffs. To answer your question, I'm more surprised by Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan, what would you say?
I didn't think Ryan would miss the playoffs. That's the short answer.
It's funny because you look at – so week two, Stuart, your power ranking, you had Ryan 1, Lewis 10. Week two, you made the most drastic change between the two of them.
Really?
Yes. I was the highest on Ryan going into week two. I had him 3. Jonathan, you had him 5. Stuart, you dropped Ryan all the way down to 7 after 1 week.
Wow.
Yes.
You moved Lewis all the way up from 10 to 4.
Yes. See, I knew something. I knew something.
So, yeah. Isn't that amazing? So
where was Senior in all of this?
So Senior, to start the year, Stuart, you had Senior. You were by far the lowest on Senior going into the year.
I was the highest.
You had him 11.
What? That doesn't sound right.
No, I was arguing for Senior at the beginning of the year.
Jonathan had Senior 7. I had Senior 8. So he was cumulatively 8.
Golly, I only had him at 7.
So, yeah, I mean, y'all remember
I thought I had him higher.
Well, I mean, some of his picks were questionable, you know. he was starting, you know, Fournette and starting Jones.
I think that's right.
Ingram. I think there was a lot of questions there.
So that was going into week one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, we did rankings before, right after the draft. We did.
Coming out of week two. I feel like this is where week one. Yeah.
Jonathan, you had him number one.
Yeah, I was gonna say I had him. What, he scored 178 points.
I had him number two, and Stuart, you had him number three.
we quickly changed.
So those were our two biggest movers from the first week to the second week, and both were the positive, and that's a function of how low we were on them. But you know, after week two, we had him as Stuart had him both as top four teams. You know, after that first week.
Yeah, I kept senior in top four, but I've definitely bumped Lewis down on certain weeks.
Yeah.
They both had really good week ones, though. Lewis scored 162 points, and senior scored 178.
So, you know, I'm looking through this week eight. You know, I've missed a bunch of weeks this on tracking this stuff, so I apologize. But, like, week eight, Stuart, you had Lewis second in week eight.
Mm.
Halfway through the season, including the playoffs.
Well, he had a good record. I feel like he had a good record. I just didn't think he had a really good team. That was I remember saying that several times.
Yeah, and you had.
But then his record. But then his record started to even out, where it was like, okay, now his record is matching his team.
So
but
to then, that point, week seven, Lewis scored 156.6. I think that was against me. Week eight, he scored 110.36. That was the roller coaster of Lewis.
Yes. Yes.
And he actually lost to you that week by 30 in week eight.
Yeah. So I mean
to me or to
he David? Lost to he lost oh sorry to you, Stuart. He lost to you in week eight.
My point being in all this is if you look at Stuart and your ranking too in week eight, Jonathan, you had both had Lewis and Senior in the top three. You know, and so like is it all that much of a surprise kind of going back to staying the course of not overreacting? It's like they knew they had a good team through week eight, which is a significant, I mean, that's 2/3 of the season. And they stuck with it and look at where they're at now. They saved their money, they were able to make up moves, pick up players, which they've both done in the playoffs. And so
those two things go together though, right? Like if you don't need to make moves, you've got your fab. And so obviously you save it for rainy day, and then when he had COVID and when Senior had COVID and injury issues, it came super valuable. When he got St. Brown, he got Justin Jackson. He destroyed me with those two guys, and they were obviously very useful in the championship round as well.
So that's why the answer is Ryan, because even at that same week, we had Ryan Stuart. You had Ryan four. That week, right behind Lewis and Senior, and so
going into week eight.
Coming after week seven. Yeah, your week eight.
Really? After week seven?
You had him six. I have him six, Jonathan.
Do you know what Ryan scored in week seven? So following week seven, you ranked him fourth after he scored 89.2.
Yeah, but that game, if you go back and look at the context of it, was not indicative of his team at all. Because I remember thinking that as well. Because I was like, anyone who scores less than 100 is automatically out of the playoffs. I can't remember all the details of it, but I do remember there being a story to it.
Yeah.
And he had already resigned that
week. You know what? Big bye week for him. Keenan Allen, Najee Harris, and both the Cowboys were on his bench for a bye. So yeah, we wrote that week off, and week six he had a big week.
I mean, you look
he had 184 the week before that.
The next week going into week nine, we had him 4, 5, and 5. Jonathan, you had him 4. So my point being is even as you get that late into the season, he was still ranked. And it was kind of that same conversation of, oh, he's just gonna get one win and then he's in, right?
Yeah.
And he never got it. And that was the most surprising thing. And that's maybe one of the most surprising things this season as I look back on it, was the inability for Ryan to do that through you know, a couple of different factors. So
yeah, and yeah, his team was just so loaded coming out of the draft. It has to be him. There was such expectation, and he held on to him for so long, like you said. So,
that's a good question. That's the flip side of the holding and not overreacting, as he did that, and look what happened.
Yeah.
And that's where I go back to feeling it out and making a move. Is I do think if Ryan would have moved some of his players, you know, hindsight's always 20/20 here, but I feel like if he would have moved on from some of these players earlier and sooner, specifically like Zeke, which Zeke still had value, right? Albeit maybe not the value he was, you know, hoping for. I do think that would have benefited him. And, you know, maybe he has one more win, which puts him in a different spot, you know, towards the end of the year. And so,
yeah, for this year, you're absolutely right. Next year, he's right back in the reloaded bucket. He's got a first, 2 seconds, 2/3, 2/4, a fifth, a sixth, 7th. So, I mean, he's not even missing a draft pick for next year, and he's got extra early picks. So, to your point, this year he could have definitely been competitive with the team he had he made a move here or there that just would have changed things. So it is, it's interesting, man. And then we've well chronicled the luck of the schedule, how important that is. Like, yeah, that's purely random. It's a random computerized, like, just, we just plug it in and it spits out a schedule and we put it in. We don't put any thought into that, because there's very limited options that we have on that. But that, you know, you pick one player, you swap them, and all of a sudden you have vastly different records just head to head. So, yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy.
You could just make sure that you don't have two teams playing each other in back-to-back weeks. But, you know, that's really the only thing you could check
I
for.
I forgot about that.
You wouldn't want that to happen ever. That'd be bad.
I know. The NBA does a good job of that too.
And MLB too. They never play
each other.
The same.
Yeah, exactly. That's not the same.
162 games, and they have to fly between each one.
Yes.
You know, even if we, looking back through Ryan too, and if we did the, you know, you win half your, you get a point or a win for your top six, bottom six, Ryan still would have been out of the playoffs, right? Even by that metric. Wow. I mean, that's very surprising. And as much as we want to talk about him having a bad schedule, I think at some point it's actually more than that.
I think it's his team underperforming the expectation.
And a stat like that kind of bears that out, because that's the whole point of doing a top six, bottom six is to kind of even it out and level it out. And even doing that for Ryan didn't get him there. And so,
man, I like that we're tracking that. I don't know if I would like that as a part of our record, even though if the whole league wanted it, I would do it. I just think like tracking it to be able to point back to that, to your point, and say, you know, you were unlucky, or you were a little lucky here.
Yeah, I mean, Joey would have been a big winner in that. Joey actually would have been in the playoffs, you know, using that. And so that's kind of surprising to think back a little bit. I mean, it's interesting, but I definitely look at for sure.
I've got a question. If you could take one, either Senior or Lewis's team, I'm not saying for this year necessarily, but if you could just say, I can pick one of those guys to have as my team next year, whose team would you pick?
Jamar Chase really changes things. if it weren't for, that's hard to say, because Chase had such a great year. I know his 60 points just really hits you right across the face. Until this week, I would have said Senior, but I think you could talk me into Jamar Chase, Nick Chubb, or Jamar Chase, Josh Allen, depending on what happens with Chubb. I don't know. That's tough, because you're really just saying which keepers. Which group of keepers do you like better, right?
Well, no, I don't think that's.
I'm saying if you took their team, like, you could just every guy that they have on their team right now.
More of a dynasty question.
More of a dynasty question.
That's hard, because, you know, Lewis has Hopkins and Gibson on his bench. I mean, he's got some good. He's got some pretty good starters, like high end starters, is what I would argue, and he's got a lot of upside. Obviously,
Josh Allen, which is arguably at least a more consistent quarterback than Pat Mahomes.
He's got Devontae Smith coming into year two. He's got huge upside plays in Chubb, Chase, Gibson and Hopkins. My word.
I if that's the question, I think I go Senior and take the advantages at QB and tight end, even though, again, Josh Allen's number one. But I just, Mahomes, Kelsey stack, that's so dangerous. And I think you could do a lot with Mixon, Fournette, and Godwin and make some kind of trade package to where you can diversify that a little more. They're not all on the same team type of thing. That's the only thing that like worries me.
I do think it's close. I would probably pick senior as well, but it's actually closer than I would have actually first thought.
Yep. No, you're no.
Which kind of leads me to, which I haven't looked at all of the rounds. I happen to remember the first round. Lewis's first pick was Hopkins in the first round, and Senior's first pick was Mixon. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that was a huge – I think Mixon – Senior at Mixon at 8 or 9, something like that, which was a huge pick. Probably – looking back, I would say probably the best pick of the first round. I don't remember all of the picks, but and Hopkins was, you know, I know he's been injured a lot, but he just wasn't, you know, obviously wasn't a first round pick.
I'd say Mixon's got to be considered one of the top candidates for the best pick in the draft.
Here's your first round once again. Najee Harris, Gibson, Ridley, Dobbins, Jefferson, Kyler, David Montgomery, CeeDee Lamb, Hopkins, Mixon, Robinson, Allen Robinson, Swift.
Man. So two of those guys didn't play more than 4 games combined, and one of them might as well not have played in the NFL, and Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
What is that, 25%? Of the first round was a major bust.
Yeah.
And they both hit on, I mean, Hopkins got hurt, but up until then he was great and he was a good starter, but Mixon,
Najee and Mixon are the only, you know, not the only good guys, but I mean, those are the standout guys to me.
You don't like Justin Jefferson?
Swift was there.
Yeah. Interesting. Let me go read.
Where's Justin Jefferson ranked as a wide receiver?
Where do you think he is?
I mean, he's top 10. I don't know. I'll say 7.
In PPR, he's 3. He's only behind.
We don't do PPR.
Well, we are PPR league. But
DeAndre Swift was a top 10 running back before he got hurt.
Yeah, and until Jamar Chase did his thing, I'm pretty sure he was number 2 behind Kupp. I could be wrong. Let me see where Jamar Chase is. But Kupp and Debo and Jefferson have been, or it's Debo, Jefferson, and Jamar Chase have been in kind of the top 3 spots there.
Okay. I had feeling. I probably should have known that Jefferson was.
Yeah.
Where he was.
Yeah, Jefferson's been good all year. The difference is the value at that position. I mean, Mixon being a top 5 guy. and Najee being that good, definitely those standouts.
Fantasy points on the year: Cooper Kupp, 378. Second place, Devontae Adams, 301.
Oh man!
Tied for second place, Debo Samuel, 301. Jamar Chase, 298. He's 4th. And then you've got Justin Jefferson at 277.
Oh, so we're going standard.
Could you imagine having like 2 of the top 3 wide receivers in the league and not winning the championship? Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, Cooper Kupp is 77 points.
Yeah, the question is, who are you keeping, Stuart?
I know. I need some help. I don't know.
You got a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Y'all talked me into keeping Eckler last year, so.
You're welcome.
Eckler's been, I think Eckler's top 2 or 3.
He's number 2.
Number 2. Yeah.
We all know who he works for.
See, I mean, you look at my team and all these guys, they're all top 5 guys, all of them. Except for maybe not Kyler.
They all laid a turd.
They all laid a turd. Oh, man.
He actually had a good week.
I'd be keeping Eckler and pending what happens in the draft and Kupp.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 2 top 3 at their positions.
I don't know. I gave up a lot to get George Kittle.
Gonna let Kittle him. Walk, huh?
I was gonna say Kittle's right there. I think too. Kittle's amazing.
Gosh.
I mean, you've got some good games out of him since the trade happened.
No, I haven't. What?
Yeah, you did.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had a 30-point game with him.
He had a 30-point game in the playoffs, Week 14.
Yeah, I mean, read his last.
Didn't help.
He had a 39-point game. Week 14 wasn't the playoffs. That was the week before the playoffs.
He had
2 weeks going into the playoffs, 39.2 and 30.6. And then, yes, his bad game was 12.3 in the playoffs.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, the crazier gap is at running back, where you have Jonathan Taylor at 414 fantasy points. And then second place is Joe Mixon at 306, over 100 points.
What was the difference? Cup was only up by 77.
Cup at 378.
Where's Derrick Henry on that list?
I think he's top 10 still. Well, he was in yards.
9.
That's insane.
Yeah, Derrick Henry on a per game basis is better.
Oh, yeah.
But the other thing is Jonathan Taylor is only 22 years old. He's the youngest player in NFL history to have 2,000 plus scrimmage yards and 20 touchdowns in a season.
What happens when Derrick Henry has a Frank Gore career?
Listen, I've said it. I think Derrick Henry is maybe one of the best running backs of all time.
Ooh.
I mean, you just have to watch him. It's not fair. Because he's so big as part of it, and he gets better. And Jonathan Taylor's similar. It's not a knock on Taylor by any means. He's obviously having a great year, and he could be better long-term. But Derrick Henry, and part of it, too, I think, has been his career arc. I was talking to Jonathan about this. Y'all remember when they had DeMarco Murray?
Yeah.
Titans, and, you know, they kind of – they didn't give him the ball. And, you know, they had to have a change in philosophy and come in and pound the rock, and he's been amazing since then. Say what you want about Jonathan Taylor and his historic year. Derrick Henry, had he stayed healthy, which there's something to that as well, right? You know, about just the workload he was getting.
It's funny, too. Neither one of them's had stellar quarterback play either. They've had
The schemes they're running. I mean, that's
right.
What
but they've had – I mean, you would hope that things open up. Like, let's just say they're getting loaded up in the box, right? They're not getting wide open – looks. They're having to fight through 9-man boxes, and they do it every week. And yeah, they're both amazing.
Yeah, I mean, 1,700 rush yards for Taylor at 22 years old is very, very impressive. He's obviously probably the number one player going into next year.
Yeah, in a redraft league, he'd be number
one. In a redraft, and definitely in dynasty as well formats. And so, you know, there's a lot to like there. So. Did you know Ja'Marr Chase is the first receiver with multiple 200-yard receiving yards in a season since 2013? That doesn't feel right.
Rookie? You said rookie or just receiver, period?
Rookie. Yeah, the 200s happened. I mean, I feel like Justin Jefferson's done that this year.
Yeah, but back-to-back 200, that's what you said, right?
No, multiple 200-plus yards
games. Yeah, not back-to-back.
I heard back-to-back. I was like,
sorry.
That doesn't sound rare at all. No, I just misheard you. I mean, that sounds extremely rare is what I was going to say.
And second in touchdowns as a rookie. Y'all know who first is and holds the record as a rookie?
Most touchdowns by a rookie?
Yep, receiver. Chase has 13, which is a very...
Why do I feel like I should know this? It's not Jerry Rice, is it?
That is a
going
great
way back.
Yeah. Always go with Jerry Rice.
Start with Jerry Rice
unsure.
And work your way down the list. Calvin Johnson. Just
the number they had was 17 touchdowns.
Is it recent, rookie. Like in the last like 10 years?
No.
Michael Irvin.
Terrell Owens.
No.
Randy Moss.
There it is.
Oh,
like one of those guys has to do it.
Randy Moss is a.
So you remember he scored all three catches against the Cowboys?
Yeah.
It was three for 150 something yards and three touchdowns.
Yeah.
And Jerry Jones hated himself.
He scored 17 that year.
Mm.
Which to put that in context, Cooper Kupp, I think, has scored 15 this year.
And that's apples to apples. That's 16 games.
Wow.
Chase has done it 13 times, so really impressive.
Yeah, he's had the more impressive rookie year over Justin Jefferson, that's for sure. And Jefferson, to your point, had a great year last year, so that tells you everything you need to know about Chase.
Oh, and Jefferson's a top receiver.
Well, I'll have to figure out how to get him from Lewis. Anyway,
where was Jamar Chase drafted?
He was in the first round.
No, he was drafted.
No, he was
3.4.
Third round.
Oh, I'm sorry. In our league, I thought you meant in real life.
Oh yeah, sorry.
The players before and after him.
T. Higgins was drafted before him. I know that.
T. Higgins was drafted right after him.
No.
Yep. 3.5
before.
Kyle Pitts was before him.
Oh man.
Hey, first rookie to have 1,000 yards in a season. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Good rookie class. Who was before Pitts?
Javonte Williams.
Mm, great pick. Great pick.
Your other receiver after Higgins was Deontay Johnson. That was a good pick.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for you in the playoffs, Stuart.
Yeah.
The number one receiver still hasn't come off the board yet.
Nope, that was 4-4, a round later.
Mm.
And who was that? That was Joey.
Cooper Kupp.
Joey, yeah.
Joey, the pick before and after Cooper Kupp.
I remember this not being great. Thielen?
Thielen was the 3.10, so he came before Kupp, yeah.
Woof.
The pick right before was DJ Hawkinson.
David.
Man.
And then the pick after was Daryl Henderson.
Ugh. Wrong Ram.
Yeah.
See, but I mean, Kupp didn't have – he was decent last year, but he didn't have any type of
– Oh, nowhere near.
There was no expectation. Yeah, there was no expectation other than –
I know.
Getting a new
I drafted him the year prior.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Well, the thought was he's still going to get double-digit touchdowns, but no one saw him doubling up his yards.
See, but Kupp, if y'all go back in the time machine a little bit here, it was either two or 3 years ago, probably 3 years ago, he was number one wide receiver for a good portion of that year. So, and that was obviously with a different quarterback, but I think it speaks to his talent and why I think, and this is maybe a sell to you, Stuart, of why I don't think his drop-off is going to be as big. There's definitely going to be regression because there has to be, but I don't know if it's going to be as big as, you know, it could be.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, I actually agree too, but how much of it was, I just remember, and maybe I'm just, this is the narrative in my head, but I remember it being so much touchdown dependent, which is not a bad thing. I mean, it's just, he's a touchdown guy and he's proven that, but I think that was why
he fluctuated. It was 2019. He finished as the number one, five receiver that year. I mean, he was top five prior to the year before that. He had 10 touchdowns.
But how much yardage did he have? He didn't have 1,700.
But he's got 1,829 now. He had 1161.
Yeah. I mean that's a huge difference.
Yep.
In yardage. So
he has 1829 right now.
Yes.
Before the last week.
Yeah. Yep. He had 900 last year. Just a little over 900. So he doubled up between this year and last year on apples to apples 17 games. Excuse me, 17 weeks.
And he would have been 1,000 yard had he played all games last year too though.
Have there been 2,000-yard receivers? I'm guessing there has been, right?
Yes. I believe Calvin Johnson did it. Is that right?
Yes.
Did Julio do it?
No, I think Julio – maybe Julio did. Let's see.
Yeah, it's a rare group, but it's happened. And it's happened in the past, like, 6 or 7 years, I want to say.
You know, when you look at the all-time stats for, like, career, it's so silly how far Jerry Rice is ahead of everyone.
Always start with him.
Yeah. No, so there has never been a 2,000-yard season.
Ooh.
Calvin was the closest, and that's what I was going to say. I thought he was close. He had 1964.
Oh, gosh. They should have force-fed him that.
So to put this season in perspective from a yardage, because it's truly apples to apples at this point, the season as it stands right now would be the fifth most yards ever in a season for a receiver.
Wow, that's crazy.
He's only 5 yards behind my guy.
Yep.
I'm looking at the same thing.
You're looking at
2015. AB.
Jerry Rice and Julio Jones is second on the list.
Yeah, they're going to have to – I mean, all these records are going to get broken at some point with the extra game, probably. As long as you have these kind of seasons for Michael Thomas and Cooper Kupp and them. Julio was number two, 1871.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane that Jerry Rice did it in 95.
Oh, yeah.
Isaac Bruce did 95.
That's what I'm saying. If you look at the career receiving yards, Jerry Rice is
so dumb.
Is almost 23,000 yards. The next closest is Larry Fitzgerald at 17,500.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry was good, but it's longevity that it's just like any of these other guys, like Tom Brady and them with their records. It's like
you could extend it into touchdowns. I mean, it's not even almost 200 touchdowns by Jerry Rice.
Like who do you see that's currently in the NFL that has a chance to break that? I mean, it's got to be one of these guys that you just hope plays for 15 years.
I mean, we all thought that was going to be Odell, if you remember.
Odell.
I mean, and then look what happened. It's just so hard to be that consistent for that long.
Man, Calvin.
Yeah, I mean, someone like Fitzgerald is, I mean, I know it's because he did it, but he's probably the one that – it's those guys that are not all about themselves, you know? I feel like kind of going back to what we were talking about on the –
Well, let me read the top three and you tell me how, or the top five, and you tell me how many aren't about themselves, Stuart, okay? Career receiving yards, Jerry Rice, Larry Fitzgerald. Yep. Number three, Terrell Owens.
Okay.
Number four, Randy Moss.
Okay, yeah.
Number five, Isaac Bruce. Tony Gonzalez, Tim Brown, Steve Smith, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne rounding out the top ten.
Ooh,
I would say most of those guys were
Andre Johnson at 11. He was a very team first guy.
Yeah, he was a quiet guy.
Andre Johnson, Marvin Harrison.
20. Is that silly?
Yeah.
Jason Witten.
Wow. I mean, it is more of a passing league these days. So someone like, I mean, that's what makes the Jerry Rice even that much more impressive. He's maybe one of the greatest players that doesn't get as much love as he probably should have.
Did you see in this is a random thing. Did you see in his Calvin Johnson's career yardage year, his long on the season was like 52?
That's crazy.
You're seeing all these other guys with 96, 80, 98, 82, 80, and he had 56. He just always got big chunk plays, but they were never for the
like, yeah, I mean, as long as his career was 96, so I mean, he did that.
One.
Calvin was amazing, and then he retired, which was awesome for whoever had them on his team when that happened.
You really like those guys who just quit football, huh? I guess I do too, with Antonio Brown.
I mean, he only played 8 years.
Yeah, it's weird how similar him and Barry were.
It really is. Like, he could have been an all-time great. And I would argue he was already.
Right.
But just that skill set and that frame that he worked with, and he was amazing. I mean, I would definitely take him over some of these guys in the top 10. For sure.
Looks like TJ Watts buried me.
Gosh.
18 yeah, points.
It looks like
and it looks like we've got ourselves a champion here.
It looks like it's all but over.
Senior just said the game is 100% over. He guarantees the win. he's saying something about Lewis never had a shot.
We're gonna have another two-time champ on the belt. Yep. It looks like.
Yeah, welcome to the club.
Looks we should like have we a special it. dinner for the two-time champs.
We need to swap out podcast hosts. We need two-time champs only.
Yes.
I think our stat keeping and figures will be a little less accurate, a little more generic.
That is unbelievable.
Oh.
Oh, man, I can't believe I don't know how many sacks Baker has had, but it's been a ton. This is the fourth down play. I'm a little behind, I think, though. Oh, pass interference. P.I. Giving Chubb some more time. They bailed those suckers out.
No, that's – he said the F-bomb. It's okay. Oh, what? Uh-oh.
All I hear is mumbling.
Yeah, he said something about Lewis couldn't hold his jock strap. I don't know. No. This is just between us, not the internet.
Stirring up trouble.
I mean, Ben Roethlisberger has thrown 46 times and Najee has run 25 times compared to Baker only throwing 26 times and Chubb running at 12. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better game script for my dad.
No, you couldn't have.
Oh, he threw it at Chubb, too.
Goodness.
He dropped it, though. He dropped it. Wow. This game's over. This is like the pick of the stick.
Congratulations.
Let's just start playing the celebratory music now.
That wasn't Chubb. That wasn't Chubb. He threw it, too.
I think you're behind.
Oh, am I?
Yeah. That's okay.
Oh, yeah, I am behind. Let me see if I can speed this up.
All right.
Dead air. We can't have dead air.
Oh, yeah. Senior's the champ. Lock it in. Oh, he's bopping along to it. No, he's not. He can't hear anything.
All right, guys.
I will say it's been a good season. I'm disappointed in how it all ended for the three of us.
Yeah, parting words. The three
commissioners. You know, we should do better.
You don't care about two of the commissioners. You just care about one.
Well, that's true. I really wanted you to three-peat.
Yeah, I know.
Or not three-peat, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Three-peat it. Yeah, disappointing. I had false hope sneaking by the first round with a 98-point victory. It was fool's gold, you might say. But thank you, Mike. Thank you for pushing me in the top four. I'll take my cash payout. I'll take my worst odds. Thank you again for beating me in the bronze medal matchup. And I look forward to getting watered four times by you. We didn't cover the water bets.
Yeah, okay. We didn't talk about Mike Staffel having one of the best regular seasons and losing in the playoffs. Mm. We also didn't talk about Jackson. Is Jackson one of the best teams to not make the playoffs? It's an interesting thought. I feel like he probably is, at least scoring wise. He's had, I think, two of the highest scores the last 3 weeks.
Was the question posed / answered about how many times a champion missed the playoffs the next year? Did we ever figure that out? Or was that ever asked?
I don't even know.
I don't think it was.
Yeah, I don't know that we asked it.
Because I wonder how often that happens. I feel like it's pretty rare. I feel like you've got good keepers. Yeah, Jackson. Yeah. Jackson definitely should have been in contention there. Had he made it. Well, David, any parting words for the season?
Stuart, I'm glad you lost this past week since I've got your second round pick. I'm glad you lost in general. Jonathan, I'm glad you lost as well. I'm glad to see my name on the belt again. we won't clarify senior or the second. For both Lewis making it as far, and you know, it was a good season. And you know, I think I have a bad draft to blame for where I'm at, so I'm not mad, not upset. Just ready to get on to the next one.
On to the next one. We need to figure out when and where that's taking place. Mm-hmm. We need to figure out summit discussion. Listen, if you're listening to this podcast right now, no matter what day it is, as long as it's not past our summit, you need to write down the rule changes and rule proposals you would like to see for 2022. And bring them to discuss, because we're obviously everyone's got some hot takes and ideas. Let's just do it during the summit when we can actually make the change, because that's when it's fun to do, not in the middle of season.
I think it would be good if we had a post draft episode as well, you know, kind of pre summit, just kind of recap, and then we can kind of at that time go over some of our season long water bets.
Post NFL draft, gotcha.
Yeah, post NFL draft.
Yeah.
April, I guess.
Yeah.
And then we can go over, because some of our season-long bets are still going on, you know, through this next week.
That's right.
Whoever decided that.
Yeah.
I had a question for you on that.
Yeah.
Just to get you thinking. If you were to do a points per game basis bet, would you stop it before week 18?
No, that's what I was saying. I think I acknowledged that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right.
So theoretically.
We've never had a top one, believe it or not, which I think.
That is weird. I would have thought we would have made that bet.
No, we've done points per game. And which, you know.
That's probably the best way to do it, to keep it simple.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll see. We've got something to look forward to next week.
Something to look forward to. All right. Well, we'll see you guys next time. Stuart, did you have something to say?
No, I was just going to say it's been a good season, and maybe our draft next year could be out in Kerrville.
Okay. So then we'll all go to Kerrville and you just won't show up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
Because I'm proposing this idea and expecting it not to happen. And when it actually does happen, I'm not going to go. So
we have to make Kerrville work this time, guys. This would be great. All righty. Well, thanks for a great season, and look forward to the next podcast.
Vegas 2022.